Jai Om Vishnu Pad, Paramahamsa Parvrajakacharya, Asatara Satashri Srimad, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Namacharya Srila Haridasa Thakur Ki Jai, Prem Shikaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Dvaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopina Shai Mukunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhana Ki Jai, Vrindavan Dhamma Ki Jai, Mathura Dhamma Ki Jai, Navadvipa Mayapur Dhamma Ki Jai, Jagannath Puri Dhamma Ki Jai, Gangamaya Jamuna Devi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai, Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Nama Om Vishnupadaya, Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane, Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Paskatya Deshatarane Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadutam Padijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Panchakalpa Chubhischa Kripa Sindhaveva Chapatitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavebu Namo Namo. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So it is the 28th of January, 2023, with the Vrindavan Institute of Higher Education. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 22, Text 36 to 41. So we want to ask about your mission accomplished from yesterday's class, about ways you had of dealing with the mind, how you were able to notice your mind going to the contemplation stage and turn it around either with your emotions or your thoughts. So anybody who wants to write in the chat or raise their hand, either one. And please let me know what you did as far as your mission accomplished. Yes, Ajay Prabhu.
I actually tried this experiment of feeling, wherein, you know, and certain feelings, some certain type of urges, agitation, or after some conversation, I kind of observed that, you know, I basically said, oh, this feeling should go away.
Oh,
sometime.
Yeah.
So, you know, I said, this should go away. And I, you know, I observed, I said, it should go away. And then I forgot about it, it was gone.
Aha, when you stop thinking it should go away. All right, well, I'm glad you observed that. So you observed the feeling and you observed your aversion to the feeling.
Yes.
And then you were able to get detachment from both the feeling and your aversion. And as soon as you got detachment from both the feeling and your aversion, then the feeling dissipated on its own. All right, that is definitely a win.
Yeah, thank you, Mother.
I hope you all like my little celebration music that I have.
Yeah, it's fun, lovely.
Okay, good. Okay, Shyam Kishore Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandat Pranam. So I experimented for the first time with what you had told yesterday about thinking of some leelas. So I was facing a situation where I was like, you know, it was something like I'm getting provoked. And then I thought about basically Prahlad Maharaj, as how when he was provoked, or, you know, things were done, and how he was tolerant, and thinking of it that way, this provocation went down drastically. So I thought that was very nice. It was the first time I ever used that technique. I never used it before.
It's a very powerful technique. That is definitely a win. Excellent. Mahalakshmi. You have to unmute.
Well, it's a same of very similar.
That's
I
right.
have with here an angry compulsory devotee, Vaishnava, and they very often we have the chance to deal with this energy, and I also chose Prahlad Maharaj because he's totally detached of the provocation, from the provocation. The provocation comes and he just sees the Lord, whether it's in the wind, the wind is your hands, he feels something like that, I am in your hands, he's not afraid. So, but today I look further into myself and noticing how, by remembering Prahlad, I don't feel the impulse to answer to the provocation.
Wow, so, excellent. Excellent. Mission accomplished. Okay, very good. I'd like to hear from everybody. Yes. Abhirupa Malati, how did you do with your mission?
Mataji, Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam. Mataji, I usually don't get angry. I was just about to ask, we are devotee, why should we get angry?
All right, fine. But do you ever have any thoughts that are about something other than Krishna? Do you have any other feelings besides anger? Do you ever have grief? Do you ever have guilt? Do you ever have shame? Do you ever have sadness? It doesn't have to be anger.
At that time, when I was in Vrindavan, I used to go and sit near the Yamuna River. And then I cry, and then after 15 minutes, I am okay.
Okay, but you don't always have the Yamuna. What are you going to do when you're not by the Yamuna?
Say again, Mataji.
Suppose you're not in Vrindavan and you can't go to the Yamuna, then what will you do?
Then I have a small temple in my house. I go and sit there.
Suppose you are not in your house, then what will you do?
And then I divert my mind, Mataji.
Very good. And you divert your mind to what? To what kind of things?
Well, thinking of Krishna only.
Okay.
Because I have taken shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna.
Okay, very nice. Okay, I'd like to ask Ambika, how did you do with your mission accomplished?
I was thinking of this, how these feelings pass when they are just noticed and accepted. And I was remembering how I actually did it when I was with one very young devotee who is a little like perhaps unsteady with her mental health. And she may say and do things that are really unexpected. So then I was tested with my tolerance, and I really just let everything to pass.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you. Okay, we have one in the chat from Ekanta. That she tried to remember pure devotees with similar emotions. It really helps, yes. Oh, this is a wonderful one. I've done this before. I remember the gopis when Krishna went to Mathura and their despair, separation. My mood changes quickly. Thank you very much. Yes, I have also done this. Okay, let's see who we haven't asked yet. Ashamananda Prabhu. How did you do with your mission from yesterday's class?
Not too well, but I tried.
Hey, so, try is also a win.
So one incident was when I was doing a stupid thing, and then a devotee was not so happy with me. So, and generally I'm quite then I get stuck, you know, when somebody doesn't think I did a good thing. So I try to just leave that aside and search for a solution, and it worked quite nicely.
Okay.
Quickly.
So you like put you, you just I, let the feelings pass and went to a solution.
Yeah, it didn't pass too quickly, so I just went on, you know, with my... I tried to find a solution without noticing the feeling. Mm. And then the second thing is I just could... I was able to do some kirtan. Right now in the Zurich temple doing some kirtan. And so I noticed I tried to sing nicely, but then I thought, somehow this feeling is disturbing me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought I don't have to, like, my thoughts should change from being happy while singing to trying to serve the holy name. And when I did this, immediately some nice thoughts came to my, like Krishna conscious thoughts came to my mind, and it was going on
better. Very good, very good. So you redirected your thoughts.
Yes.
Okay. Abhirupa Malati, your request, please ask Shakti Swarupini to ask me, because otherwise I'll forget and I don't have time to do this while I'm teaching. Okay, mission accomplished. Very nice. Okay, Shakti Manta, how did you do with your mission? A little louder somehow. You're very quiet.
Hare Krishna, can you hear me now?
That's better.
So this morning I had gone to the temple for some service, and a devotee said some agitating words to me, and I actually remembered you, how equipoised you are in such a difficult situation. So I stepped back in my mind, and I kind of observed my thoughts, and I noticed that when I was conscious of my thoughts, I was less emotional.
Excellent.
And I was able to regulate the flow of my thoughts that way.
Excellent.
So instead of being emotional and having tears and, you know, things like that, I was quite fine with whatever they said. And in fact, my interaction with them, I had some positive interaction with them later on, and then everything was fine.
Very good. This is exactly what we're supposed to be doing. You become the observer of our thoughts as if they are somebody separate than ourselves. Excellent. Mission accomplished. And I want to remind all of you that this is not always going to be easy. So even if you become expert at it, there may still be some times when it's challenging and you fail or you forget. But when that happens, pick yourself up and go on again. And when you noticing a failure is also a kind of win. That you notice, oh, I got carried away by my thoughts. That is a kind of detachment also. To be able to say, oh, I got carried away by the emotions. I got carried away by the thoughts. That is much better than thinking, I am these thoughts, I am these emotions. So even just noticing a failure is a kind of win. Lila Madhuri Lalita, how did you do with your mission?
The statement I heard in one of the sessions long back, that Bali Maharaj had everything, but he did not have any attachment. We have nothing, but we have a lot of attachment. So today, and also one more thing which you said recently in one session, that if we are not ready to be with the devotees, it is out of pride. So today I was supposed to go and attend one program, Kirtan program, but I was in dilemma whether to go or not. But I went. So that is just because of you only, Mataji.
So you were able to get detachment and see, oh, it's just pride, correct?
Yes.
Yes? So you got that distance from the feeling of pride. Excellent, excellent. Thank you. And now you're the Prabhupada Gita Center today. Why don't you change the name to your name? Otherwise I'll be calling on you as Bhagavad Gita Center.
Okay.
So what was your experience with Mission Accomplished, Prabhu?
Well, Pretty uneventful. Yesterday I was busy with teaching, and generally what I do, Mataji, is every time I have a little issue in any way, I always have this for years, which is my iPad, and I have all of the books in it. And I just open it and sit down and I just read, wherever it is. But this morning, my phone didn't work. So I was thinking, oh, I have to follow process and I won't get notice and this and that. But I just thought, okay, I'll write it. I'll just wait. Generally, I would call my son and I would say, okay, help me out. So I said, you know, I have my phone's not working, so don't know what's the problem with it. That my computer is okay, my iPad is okay, but you know, I need notice. So I thought, okay, I'll just sit down and read, and then I'll wait. I don't do anything else. And then he came and he sorted it out for me. So generally, I take shelter reading, Mataji.
That's a very nice shelter. So you just let the mental agitation of the urgent crisis of my phone is broken, right?
Yeah.
Right, the mind was saying, urgent crisis, phone broken, and you took shelter in reading. And
yeah,
I would
you know how dependent, you know how dependent we come with a phone.
It's ridiculous. We our phone becomes. I mean, I was one of the late adopters of mobile phones. I waited a long, long time. But once you get one, yeah, it's like your life and soul.
Yep.
You know, you feel like it's one of your children or something. So, yeah, that ability. Oh, here we have who you are again. So that ability to say, is this really an urgent crisis? Is this really... My youngest son and his wife live in Southern California, and there's a lot of fires in California. It's a very fire-prone area. And a couple years ago, there was a wildfire in their area, and they had police orders to evacuate. So, you know, my son was at work. My daughter-in-law, you know, loads the three kids in the car, and she's driving, and as she's driving, the whole sky was bright orange with flame. And nobody got hurt. The house is fine. But she said as she was driving, she thought, this is an urgent crisis. And I thought, yes, that's an urgent crisis. But most of the things in life that our mind tells us are an urgent crisis. My phone's broken. Somebody insulted me. You know, is not. And we can get that detachment and say, my dear mind, this is not an urgent crisis. Let me read. And I'd like to suggest if you're someplace where your iPad isn't there, maybe then you can meditate on something that you have read.
Oh, yeah, I was going to come to that. It's one thing that is always in the back of my mind is Matra Sparsha Sukandeya Sitoshna Sukadukada Agamapayinu Nita Stamtitikshva Bharata. And I've gone through a lot in life, you know. So this was when I was chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra and chanting this at the same time in my heart. I'm thinking, okay, it will pass. It is summer and winter seasons. Now it is May, it will
perfect.
Pass.
Perfect.
And I just always have this in my as a tool in my toolbox.
Excellent. So not that I want it to go away, not that, oh, I want winter to go away, or I want this to go away, but it will pass. Excellent, excellent win. Jai. All right, who have we not yet asked? There's some people we haven't yet asked. Madhurya Dameshwari. Today we see your face and not just your fan.
Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam.
Dandavat Pranam.
To all devotees. Krishna Mataji, very sorry. Today you only occupied my mind.
Oh, that's terrible.
I realize how devotional service is very important during the dualities. That I realized today, Mataji.
Okay, did you have any experience with how you did with your thoughts and your feelings?
What, Mataji? Krishna, hello.
Did you personally, what did you personally do as far as your own thoughts and feelings to direct them towards Krishna?
Sorry, Mataji, I don't know how to talk. But because past 15 days, I'm in bed rest only. I feel very bad Because weekly twice I will go for kitchen service in DT kitchens, DT kitchen. Now at present I'm not doing any service. I'm in bed rest. So I feel very fat, very bad.
So how are you dealing with those very bad feelings? Can you give a name to that bad? It's just bad. Do you feel guilt? Do you feel shame? Do you feel grief? No. First, you're jumping. First, let's give a name to the feelings. Everybody pay attention. This is useful for everybody. You're just like bad. Okay, what kind of bad? Is it grief?
Bad means materially I'm arresting in the house.
I know that. I want you to give a name to the feeling. I know the situation. I understand. I want you to give a name to the feeling.
I don't know, Mataji.
No, I want you to know. Look at it. Look at it. No. Look at the feeling. Is it grief? Is it shame? Is it regret?
Shame, Mataji. Shame.
All right, shame. Okay, now what I'd like you to do is just feel the shame. Let the shame just come over you and let it get as strong as it wants to get. It's not going to hurt you. Just let that feeling of shame, let it fill your body. It may cause some pain in your body temporarily, but that's all right. It won't hurt you. And just look at it as if it's something other than you. You can even think of it as having a form, like some funny little creature.
Okay, Mataji.
And just let it pass through you as something that's not you. It's just part of Krishna's energy. Just give it to Krishna. Let it peak, let it pass through you. Just like a river going into the ocean, just let it go through you. Don't try to get rid of it. Don't try to explain it. I'm lying in bed and therefore no stories about it. Just let it pass through you as part of Krishna's energy.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for being willing to do that with us. I hope you were all able to learn something from what we did. Neelamani, what was your experience with dealing with thoughts and feelings?
Not sure if I have a particular experience, but yesterday, being Friday, we have Bhakti Riksh programs, and I sometimes find myself getting too engrossed in my work, and you know, you just get too engrossed, and you find yourself rushing to go to the program and you know, just giving some speaking on class and so forth. But yesterday I said, no, this isn't right. I just have to stop. And because next Thursday is Nityananda Trayodashi, we had decided we would speak and glorify Lord Nityananda yesterday. So I just took the time in the afternoon. I said, no, forget the work. Work is always going to be there. Let's just step back, step away, turn the work computer off, and just spend the time hearing a nice class on the glories of Lord Nityananda, and then prepare and just, share that with small.
All right, very good. So what I'm understanding, what I'm hearing from you that you did, was very similar, this idea of urgent crisis. You know, running. This is the mind telling us, I have an urgent crisis. You have to pay attention. And you step back. This is what I'm hearing. You step back and said, there's no fire. My house isn't on fire. I can take a break and listen to the Lord Nityananda. There's no fire. Excellent, excellent, excellent. Okay, so it's hard for me to keep track of everybody here. Who did I not ask? Ekanta wrote something. Ratnam, what was your experience with the mission?
Hare Krishna, Madhari.
Hare Krishna.
I didn't do much about others, but I was just thinking about yourself, because I just thought that how in your, like, very critical family situations. You are so much attached to Prabhupada, spiritual development, spiritual class, and it actually put me into different dimensional thinking. Like that's real renouncement. That you are such a great person that we are very fortunate to attend yesterday's class. And I actually thought that how we should be. You are a great role model for us. That's what I was thinking, Mother.
Well, that's very kind of you, but I asked you if you could try to practice some of the things I do so that you're praising me so much, so that whatever ability I have, I will tell you frankly, it's because of studying and applying these things from the Shastra. And therefore, I would like to share that with you. So, did you get any chance yourself to get detachment from material thoughts and feelings in the last day?
Nothing much. Like, I didn't meet many people around, and I didn't. So, regarding thoughts, I was as normal as I didn't do any. From yesterday after class till now, I didn't do any much.
Okay. Well, maybe you will do your own mission accomplished later on and give yourself your own cheer when you do that, okay?
Yeah, sure.
All right, very good. Thank you for answering.
Thank you.
And thank you for giving me encouragement. I can always use encouragement. Stuti Priyarada, how did you work on the mission?
Yes, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Yes. Actually, my routine was very hectic. So I was telling myself, like, you know, what to do and what not to do, what should I leave. And, you know, continuously it was pricking me, okay, you know, which service should I leave. But then I sat and leaving everything aside for 2-3 minutes. And I told myself, I was trying to think why this is happening. And then, you know, something came to me and it was like every day in the morning I am chanting and asking for service. And if Krishna is answering to it, I should take it in a right way. And then I started telling myself, yes, Krishna's computer is perfect. No, I have to fit myself somewhere. So, you know, what happened was, you know, it happened somehow, you know, a few devotees came to help. And the things went on very well. And, you know, programs also went well. So, you know, what I felt there was that, you know, something was coming so heavy on me, but just with the thought that his computer is perfect and nothing can go from his side which is wrong for me, and to just give those 2 minutes to myself, the things got settled.
Yes. Actually, you use a technique that as I said, I just taught a few techniques yesterday. I used a technique I did not teach yesterday, and that is gratitude. You moved from seeing things as a problem to gratitude. And that can be as simple as, oh, I've got to do the laundry again, to thank you, Lord, that I have enough clothes to wear and that I have water to do my laundry. So you went from, I have too much to do, I'm stressed, again, the urgent crisis thing, to this is the work of Krishna, and he's engaged me nicely in this, and his engagement is perfect. You switch from urgent crisis to gratitude. And I was thinking a lot about that with my grandson, that you know, that I'm very grateful that he didn't leave his body at the scene of the accident, that he got to be in the hospital for days with the family around him, with Prabhupada chanting. I was very grateful that he left his body while thousands of devotees were praying for him and doing pujas and all over the world. That's a very rare benediction. And I'm very grateful that he got to leave his body naturally. Nobody had to turn off life support. It was mostly a brain injury, and they were expecting brain death, at which point my children would have had to decide to disconnect the life support. But instead, his heart failed. And because his heart failed, nobody had to make any kind of decision that they'd be thinking about for the rest of their life. So even though the situation was horrible, you know, I really meditated on how Krishna had arranged. I thought, if this is his time to go, Krishna arranged that he would leave in a way that there were these benedictions. So that is another very powerful technique for dealing with the disturbance from the mind and the emotions. And I really want to congratulate you. It wasn't one of the ones I taught. And you found it. Krishna helped you to find that one. And I think that can also be an example. So yes, mission accomplished. Yes? Okay, so did we ask everybody? I think we've asked everybody.
I was just thanking Madhuri. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. By us talking about this with each other, we are all helping each other. You understand? And you noticed in talking about this how each one of us dealt with things a little differently. And each one of us came to our solutions a little differently. But we each had this experience that Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 2:64, that when we move back from attachment and aversion, we get his mercy, we get his help. And even just noticing that we were doing it wrongly, again, is a huge step, because noticing we're doing it wrongly means, again, a kind of detachment from the thoughts and feelings. So this experience we had in the last 24 hours is where we took the instructions that the four Kumaras are giving to Maharaj Prithu, and we just applied them in our own lives. We just took the Bhagavatam and we made it real and living for us. And that's the idea. The idea is, you know, I am preparing you to pass your VIHE exams and get your Bhakti Vaibhava degree. But the real thing here is that we want to be living Bhagavatams, yes? We want to be walking, living Bhagavatams. We want the Bhagavatam to live in us. We want to have faith in these instructions of Sanat Kumara. We want to have faith in these instructions of Sanat Kumara, because we experience that they're real. Right? Pratyakshavagamam dharmam susukam kartamavyam. The greatest proof of Krishna consciousness is our practical experience of it. Alrighty. I should also mention, on a practical level, I'm in communication, I forget which one of you told me, anyway, with Namvrata Prabhu in Seattle. I talked to him yesterday, and he's helping to arrange the funeral for Chakra, and he'll be talking to me again today, so I'll let you know. I really appreciate giving me Namavrata Prabhu's name, whoever gave it to me, I don't remember, I'm sorry, I wasn't really quite functional yesterday.
He is very helpful, he will go do...
He is just
always super. Always ready to serve.
Absolutely super, and I should know within the next couple days if there will be any change in the class schedule, so thank you. Because I will have to travel, you know, I might have to, like... This is 7:30 to 9:30 in the morning for me. So if I have to do like a 6 o'clock flight or a 10 a.m. flight, then I won't be able to teach class that day. So we'll work that out. All right, text 36. You can say it with me, but please stay muted. Pare vare chaye bhava guna vyati karad anu na te sham vidjite kshemam isha vidvan sita shisham. And Prabhupada focuses on this last line, Esha Vidvam Sita Shisham. We accept as blessings different states of higher life, distinguishing them from lower states of life, but we should know that such distinctions exist only in relation to the interchange of the modes of material nature. Actually, these states of life had no permanent existence, for all of them will be destroyed by the Supreme Controller. Oh, I forgot to give us our mission for today. I am sorry, I am negligent. Let's step back for a minute. I'm doing better today than I did yesterday, but I'm definitely not all here. So our mission for today, for today's class, is any of us looking for the simplest and most direct path to spiritual perfection? So our mission is to be a surrendered soul, to move toward surrender, to take a step toward surrender and having the Lord's feet as shelter so we can easily cross all of our obstacles and all material desires and avoid repeated birth due to our material desires. And if we achieve this, we can imagine that we are always feeling sheltered and cared for in unlimited love. So our focus today is going to be on moving toward surrender. All right, so I'm just going to, because I did things out of order, I'm just going to read again just the last line, Esha Vidvan Sita Shisham, and the translation. We accept as blessings different states of higher life, distinguishing them from lower states of life, but we should know that such distinctions exist only in relation to the interchange of the modes of material nature. Actually, these states of life have no permanent existence, for all of them will be destroyed by the Supreme Controller. All right, so yesterday we talked about, and I want to mention it again today, that Krishna wants to give his devotees both material and spiritual prosperity, and generally, in the universe, that's the case. Generally, the more that persons are Krishna conscious, the higher their standard of life materially. In the higher planets, they have more material facility because they're more Krishna conscious. However, Krishna will take away material prosperity if it's a hindrance to spiritual prosperity. He's going to prioritize the spiritual prosperity. So let's look at the words here. Isha, the Supreme Lord, Vidamshita, destroyed, Ashisham, of the blessings. So Krishna destroys the blessings. And it's like, what? Why is Krishna going to destroy blessings? All right. So I'd like each of you now look at this purport, go through the purport, and I want you to write in the chat as many of the meanings and implications of this term, Esha Vidam Sita Shisham, that you can find from the purport.
Can you repeat the Sanskrit that we have?
I can put it in the chat. It's one of the nice things about Zoom. You can just put it in the chat. You don't need to write it on the flip chart. Just copy-paste it into the chat. Find as many as you can in the purport and write them in the chat. As many as you can find. We can stop. Thank you. So going on to text 37. Tatvam Narendra Jagatam Atatatusham Cha Dehendriyashu Dishanat Mabir Avritanam Yakshetravit Tapataya Ridhi Vishvag Avi Pratyak Chatasti Bhagavanstam Avehi Sosmi. Sanat Kumara advised the king, therefore, my dear Prithu, try to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is living within everyone's heart, along with the individual soul, in each and every body, either moving or not moving. The individual souls are fully covered by the gross material body and subtle body made of the life, air, and intelligence. By the way, just a little note for those of you for whom English is a second language. We do not pronounce the B in the word subtle. We don't say subtle. So I've noticed a lot of people who've learned English from books, they say subtle, but the B is silent, disappears. Subtle body. All right. So Prabhupada talks about the impersonalists. Notice in the purport here, he's talking about tat tvam asi and soham. If you want to study this further, in the Adi Lila, chapter 7, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is talking with Prakasananda Sarasvati, there's a discussion where the impersonalist put Tat Tvam Asi as the main mantra, and Mahaprabhu establishes that Om, the pranava, is the main mantra. And Tat Tvam Asi and Soham mean I am of the same quality. It doesn't mean that I am the same. It's ridiculous to say that I am the same. If I am the same, why do I have this aging body? And why do I have a mind and senses that I struggle with? Prakriti stani karshati. Right? We had our mission yesterday of how to deal with the mind. So the Lord doesn't have to karshati. He's not struggling. Adi Lila. He is not struggling. So how can I be the Lord? The Lord can create universes, you know. I may not be able to create a food preparation successfully. You know, I'm not the controller. So that's ridiculous. But we have the same quality. Yes. Right. And Prabhupada's also talking here about prioritizing our spiritual life, which of course relates also to the previous verse, that if all the material side is going to be destroyed, I should prioritize, if all the material is going to be destroyed, I should prioritize that which is not going to be destroyed. I give some priority. Make sure that I have time for attentive japa. Make sure that I have time for attentive reading. Make sure that I have time for attentive worship. Time in mental and emotional space. To prioritize that. I have to do so many things. Which we Krishnaize. But I also want to prioritize my time just with Krishna. Prabhupada talks about here how if we are perfect in our material life, right? If I'm perfect in my material life and I don't cultivate the spiritual, shrama evihi kevalam, it's all useless. Whereas if I prioritize the spiritual and my material is not perfect, I'm not the loser. Okay, text 38. Yashmin idam sada sad atmataya vibhati maya viveka viduti sraji vahi buddhi tam nichamukta padishuda vishuda tatvam pratyuda karma kalila prakritim prapadye. Okay, so this word prapadye, surrender, is at the essence of our mission for this class, to focus on the six types of surrender, the six aspects of surrender, and to be well on our way to increasing our surrender. So the translation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead manifests himself as one with the cause and effect within this body, but one who has transcended the illusory energy by deliberate consideration, which clears the misconception of a snake for a rope, can understand that the Paramatma is eternally transcendental to the material creation and situated in pure internal energy. Thus the Lord is transcendental to all material contamination, and to him only one must surrender. So surrender implies a person. So we're going to do a whole bunch of cool things about surrender. But first I'd like to ask you, what does this rope and snake thing mean? Any thoughts? Put in the chat. What does the rope and snake thing mean? What's Sunat Kumar mean by this? T- take something false for something real. Yes, okay. Can you be a little bit more specific? What are we mixing up? What's the rope? What's the snake? What's our problem here? Who is it? One of you explained it very nicely. I think it was Shaktimanta. Shaktimanta, were you the one who was running around and were you the one who talked about Krishna's computer? Was that you?
It was me, Mataji.
Oh, it was you. Okay, I couldn't remember. I knew somebody who started with an S, sorry. Shruti Priyarada, it was you. And I really like your name, too. We have a Shruti Priyarada here in our community, and you're the Stuti Priyarada. All right.
My name, Stuti Priya, was Shruti.
It was Shruti, and then it got changed to Stuti. All right, you guys are all giving me vague stuff here. I want something a lot more specific. I already knew the vague before I asked you. Come on. Stuti Priyarada exemplified, she epitomized doing this in her mission accomplished for yesterday's class. Okay, Ekanta, but try to explain this in your own words. Mahalakshmi, I think you're getting kind of close. Ekanta, I'd like to know, what does that mean? I mean, I can read that, but what does that mean for me, you know, like today? Is it all right if I challenge all of you? Are you all cool with that? Nobody's offended? I know Mahalakshmi's cool with that. But I chastise her all the time, and she's totally cool with that. But I'm asking about the rest of you. Are you all right? Did I challenge you?
We just got trained. We just took a training. If you get offended, how to deal with it?
Okay. All right. If I push too hard, let me know. Just say, "Hey, Urmila, back off."
We try the method you gave us.
People can mix the soul and the super soul. Okay. That's not usually how it's understood. Wrong identity, taking body as body as oneself. Yeah, okay. But let's really think about the analogy. Is a rope dangerous? If there's a rope lying on the side of the road, is it dangerous? If there is a snake on the side of the road, is it dangerous? Probably. I mean, obviously, there are snakes that are not dangerous. Anyone know that verse about how this world is dangerous at every step?
Padam padam vipadam yat desham.
Yeah, do you know the whole verse?
Samashitaye pada pallava pallavam bhavam pada pallava pallavam bhavam udir vatsa padam 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 yat padam.
So what's the meaning of the whole verse, do you know?
Yes. Bhavam Budhir Vatsa Pada. But if he's crossing the ocean for a devotee, this ocean, the whole ocean of birth and death becomes as small as a calf footprint. Bhavam Budhir Vatsa Padam Param Padam 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 Yat Padam Yat Vibadam Natesham.
My dear friends,
in this material,
we see this world as a snake. Remember when we were going over our mission accomplished with a few of you, I said, oh, you thought it was an urgent crisis. We think it's dangerous. Somebody's insulted me. This is dangerous. I'm too busy. This is dangerous. My phone broke. This is dangerous. It sounds silly when I say it, but when we're in it, it doesn't sound silly at all. One of the devotees here had his phone broken, and I'm thinking, oh, glad it wasn't my phone that broke. What would I do if my phone broke? My life would end. And so again, you know, it sounds silly if it's somebody else. Right? I mean, to me, my grandson dying in an accident, the world's ended. But honestly, every day so many people are dying in accidents. Isn't it a fact? and I'm not, my life doesn't fall apart. I don't sit around crying all day. We're thinking that this life is dangerous. We're thinking we have so many problems that we have to solve. Oh, okay, I've got this problem. All right, how do I solve it? I've got to solve it. I have to solve it. I'm in bed rest, and it's terrible. I have to solve it. I'm feeling so much shame because I can't solve my problem. But my dear friends, it's a rope. It's not a snake. It's Krishna. Everything is Krishna. Therefore, for the devotee, it's not that we have no feelings. It's not that I'm just like, oh, chakra died, oh well, Hare Krishna. We care about people, we have feelings. But we see that there's Krishna. Bhoktaram Yogatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshram Suridam Sarvabhutanam Gyatramam Shanti Rishiti. That there's a controller, that everything I'm doing is for his pleasure. One of you said that, I can't remember. Who said that? They were in a kirtan and they realized they should be in the kirtan for Krishna's pleasure. Who was that? That was you, Shamananda. Okay. Sorry again, my brain is not really fully working. I'm sorry. I think I'm somewhere at about 70% capacity. So, you know, we think everything is for Krishna's pleasure. And he's controlling everything, and he's my best friend. So it's not a snake. It's a rope. It's harmless. Even if things are really an urgent crisis in material estimation, that my house is burning down and my kids on life support in the hospital, still there's Krishna. Even if I really do need to think of solutions and I really do need to make a decision right now because there really is an urgent crisis in the material world, which doesn't happen very often to us, by the way, it's still Krishna's there. And this seeing that the snake is just a rope happens because we surrender. All right, so we're all going to meditate on surrender, but first, it's been an hour. And we need to make sure that we don't just sit, and stare. Up. Stand up. Get off your chair. Stretch to the ceiling. Turn around. Look at a distance. Look away from the screen. I'm going to look outside. Oh, the sun has risen. The trees are out. Oh, we're going to stretch. Yes. Alright. Okay. Gotta take care of the car, folks. Krishna's car, you gotta take care of the car. Alright, you ready for a little meditation on surrender? Everybody ready? So in the purport, Prabhupada talks about how Prapadye, it must be personalism. We're not just surrendering to the light or the void. We're surrendering to a person. And the purport of 38. And let's do some meditation without sound, please. And portion on, oh, come on. Okay, what's showing up? Is the six symptoms of surrender showing up?
Yes, Mother.
Okay, great. Okay, so what are the six symptoms of surrender? And this has music, but if I play the music on Zoom, I can't talk at the same, it won't. So you're not going to get to hear the music. All right, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains this surrender to Sanatana Goswami. And the verse about surrender is a very famous verse. It's at the key of the Sri Sampradaya. The Sri Sampradaya feel, they actually feel that prapadye, or surrender, is different from bhakti yoga. The people in the Sri Sampradaya, they say, like we say that karma yoga, gyan yoga, and dhyan yoga are too hard. They say bhakti yoga is also too hard. They say you just surrender. Interesting if you want to study that. But they also have the same verse. So in Majjha 22.100, the six divisions of surrender are giving: to accept what's favorable, to reject what's unfavorable, to see Krishna as our protector, to see Krishna as our maintainer, to have no separate interest, no independence in fulfilling our desires, and humility. So, accepting what is favorable. And here we look at the most... Could I please repeat the number of the verse? Majjha 22.100. What I'm going to have to do for my own sanity is I'm going to have to turn off my computer sound for myself. So if you unmute and say anything, I won't hear you. If you need to say anything, you'll have to write it in the chat. Okay, so we look here at the five most potent items of devotional service is what we can accept. Deity worship, going to holy places, chanting the holy name of the Lord, associating with devotees. I have music for all this that we can't hear. And studying the Shastra, stressing the Bhagavatam. Then what is it that we have to reject? Kama krodas tata lobas. Tasmare tva tvayam tvajet. To give up lust, anger, and greed. And as we learned, that doesn't mean repression. It means allowing them to pass through us. And of course, we give up intoxication, meat eating, gambling, illicit sex, and all of these sinful activities bind us to the world of illusion. When we engage in these activities, then we think the world is full of poisonous snakes. All right, the next one is to be firmly convinced that Krishna will give us protection, that no one else can protect us. This is called faith. And unsurrendered souls are not devotees, so there's no particular protection for people in general. But if we surrender to him, he guarantees protection. And again, as we talked about with this verse, that Krishna is going to prioritize the spiritual. So Bhaktivinoda has a very nice song where he identifies as one of Krishna's cows. He says, surrendering my soul unto you has lifted me from the burden of false pride. As I surrender my soul, you lift my vanity. No longer will I plan my own security. Like your own treasure, Lord, I know you will guard me too, knowing how you tend your herd of cows, keeping them close to you. Graze me, Madhava, nearby the Yamuna, playing upon your flute, gently you call us, slaying Aga and Bakra, protecting everyone. You are always doing this, O Gokulakana. You always take care of me, I know this for sure, so I'll drink the waters of the Yamuna River. I will see Kaliya and how you subdue that snake, cleansing the river water, enhancing our love and faith. You'll drink the forest fire and I'll be saved. Gopala Govinda, you have been named. To ruin the evil plan of the God of Heaven, you'll shield us from the rain, lifting the great mountain. When four-faced Brahma kidnaps all the calves and boys, you'll rescue me as well, O Gokulahari. Bhaktivinoda is your cowherd treasure. Protect him, Keshava, by your kind endeavor. So that is seeing Krishna as our protector. Bhaktivinoda's mood that he's one of Krishna's cows. seeing Krishna as our, not just our protector, but our maintainer and master. And not thinking that anyone else is protecting me, not some demigod, not some other person. Now, Prabhupada, in a lecture on Ishopanishad verses 2 to 4 in 1970, he defined this seeing Krishna as our maintainer. He said, this means to introduce ourselves with the associates of the Lord, just like Krishna has got so many associates. You can, that will, of course, not artificially. When you are advanced, you'll understand what is your relationship with Krishna, then if you introduce yourself with that association. So Prabhupada, seeing Krishna as our maintainer, means also to introduce ourselves to Krishna as his gopi, his cowherd boy, his servant, when we are at that platform. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song about seeing Krishna as the maintainer. Within my mind, I have always been anxious for the maintenance of my wife and children, my own body and relatives. How will I earn money? How will I acquire fame? How will I arrange the marriages of my sons and daughters? Now, through self-surrender, I have been relieved of all anxiety. O Lord, surely you will provide for the maintenance of your own household. Recognizing me as your own servant, you will certainly maintain me. While rendering devotional service unto you, I feel the greatest happiness. The next one. Self-surrender means remembering that our activities and desires are not independent. We're fully dependent on Krishna, and Krishna acts and thinks as he wants. The devotee is always conscious. I am not independent in fulfilling my desires. Unless Krishna fulfills them, they cannot be fulfilled. Bhaktivinoda's song on this item of surrender, item 5. The soul inhabiting this mortal body has given up the false ego attached to the word I. For today, the spiritual sense of being yours has entered his heart. All my possessions, body, home, servants, brothers, friends, wife, sons, personal belongings, fencing, and gateways, all of these things are now yours, for I have become your servant. I am but a mere occupant in your house. This is Vidura giving Krishna banana peels. You are the owner of the house, and I am your most obedient servant. My only activity now is endeavoring for your happiness. My will has become merged with your will. This is the important idea we talked about yesterday, oneness. From this day forward, Bhaktivinoda has completely forgotten himself. I have become supremely happy by surrendering myself at your lotus feet. Sorrow has gone far away, and there are no more cares. All I see is joy in the four directions. And the last item of surrender is to be very meek and humble. Bhaktivinoda says, now please hear me, O Lord. I am utterly helpless. Bhaktivinoda says, without your mercy, everything is lost. Please give me the shelter at your lotus feet. I drank the deadly poison of worldliness, pretending it was nectar. And now the sun is setting on the horizon of my life. Were you to judge me now, you would find no good qualities. Have mercy and judge me not. Cause me to drink the honey of your lotus feet. That's part of a much longer show. All right, I'd like us to meditate specifically right now on Krishna as our maintainer and Krishna as our protector. And I'd like us to go into breakout groups and discuss how we presently see Krishna as our maintainer and protector. What are we doing in our life to see that actually it is Krishna that is maintaining us and Krishna that is protecting us? So, going to give you 10 minutes. That means each of you will have about 2 minutes. Going on to text 39.
I cannot escape from this. 39.
Okay. 39. Yat pada pankaja palasa vilasa bhaktya karmashaya gratitam ugrata yanti santa tadvanna rikta matayo yatayo piruda sroto ganastam arana bhajava sudevam. That's a beautiful verse. The poetry in it is beautiful. And I don't even pronounce Sanskrit very well, and still is beautiful. The devotees who are always engaged in the service of the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord can very easily overcome hard knotted desires for fruitive activities. Reminds you of something, right? Ridaya Grantha. Because this is very difficult, the non-devotees, the jnanis and yogis, although trying to stop the waves of sense gratification, cannot do so. Therefore, you are advised to engage in the devotional service of Krishna, the son of Vasudeva. So, here the point is to give up karma ashayam by serving Vasudeva. Right? The point here is that we can give up inferior desires when we have spiritual desires. Now, what's explained here is the tide of the ocean overflowing a river. Here we go. As long as one continues to try to artificially stop the waves of desires, he will certainly be defeated. Try to stop desires is impossible. Okay. And Prabhupada says here, it may be argued that the waves of a river are incessantly flowing and that they cannot be stopped, but the waves of a river flow toward the sea. When the tide comes over the river, it overwhelms the flowing of the river, and the river itself becomes overflooded, and the waves from the sea become more prominent than the waves of the river. So when I was in Auckland, New Zealand, my place where I was staying was right by a tidal estuary, which is where the ocean flows into a river. And when the tide was high, the waves of the ocean would go into the river. So normally the rivers go into the ocean. But for the devotee, the ocean goes into the river. And this allegory is quite interesting. Right? It's a very, very interesting allegory. What does it say in Bhagavad Gita 2:70? That we should tolerate the flow of desires like a river going into the ocean. Again, this is not repression. It's not trying to make the desires go away. It's that we just let them flow into the ocean where they become insignificant. Right? But here we have, that is a technique. Please listen carefully, because I'm going to have you guys do an exercise on this. So please pay attention. And you will be tested on this. So, that particular technique in Bhagavad Gita 2:70 that I taught you yesterday and that some of you practice as part of your mission, where one simply becomes the observer of the thoughts and feelings and lets them flow into the ocean, come and go as they like. Right? One who does not hate illumination, attachment, and delusion when they appear, or long for them when they disappear. Not trying to make them go away. And not indulging them either. Right? Whereas Prabhupada's quoting 259. Ah, here we go. But here there's another technique in 259 that's only really done by the devotees. And at least one of you practiced that one. I think two or three perhaps. Where I go to Krishna's desires. I absorb myself in Krishna. If I'm feeling something or I'm thinking something that's an obstruction in my bhakti, I find somewhere in Leela where some pure devotee or the Lord is also feeling or thinking like that, but transcendentally. And I absorb myself in that. And then that ocean of transcendental emotion overcomes the river. That's such a superior process. The other process we do too. We just let the thoughts and feelings flow through without identifying them with them. But we do something beyond that. Those of you who say, oh, I'm going to chant now for Krishna's pleasure. It's Krishna's computer program. That's what you were doing. You were doing exactly what Srila Prabhupada's talking about in this purport. You can see there's several ways of doing it. I can see that what looks like a snake is actually a rope. It's actually Krishna's desire. I can say, hey, I'm doing this for my pleasure. Let me do it for Krishna's pleasure. I can meditate on transcendent emotions. Any of those ways, and I'm sure there are more that I haven't thought of in this particular moment, act like this huge ocean where when the tide comes in, the ocean goes into the river. It overfloods the river. Now, this particular spiritual technique is part of the surrender of aligning our desires with the Lord. It's a kind of oneness where we understand that only the Lord can fulfill our desires. Okay, a couple things from the purport I want to read. Gyanis maintain a desire to become one with the Supreme, but such desire is also considered to be kama, lust. Similarly, the yogis desire mystic power, and that is also kama. And the bhaktas, not being desirous of any sort of material enjoyment, become purified. There is no artificial attempt to stop desire. Can I say that again? There is no artificial attempt to stop desire. As soon as we find ourselves thinking, I want this feeling to go away. I want my shame to go away. I want my irritation to go away. I want my feeling of being overwhelmed to go away. Then we're trying to stop it. There is no artificial attempt to stop desire. What Prabhupada says next? Desire becomes a source of spiritual enjoyment under the protection of the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord. Woohoo! What a statement. Desire becomes a source of spiritual enjoyment. Desire becomes a source of spiritual enjoyment under the protection of the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord. Isn't that cool? Aren't you so glad that Prabhupada decided to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world? Aren't you glad that Lord Chaitanya decided to preach personalism and Rupa Goswami was teaching us rasa theory? Isn't that nice? There is no artificial attempt to stop desire. Desire becomes a source of spiritual enjoyment under the protection of the lotus feet of the Lord. Prabhupada says, the bhaktas, by their transcendental devotional service unto the lotus feet of the Lord, become so overwhelmed with transcendental bliss that automatically their desires for material enjoyment stop. And a lot of you experienced that, didn't you? In your mission from yesterday, you practically experienced that. You had some disturbing thought, some disturbing feeling. And it just went away on its own. when you were trying to make it go away, it didn't work. It just becomes stronger, and you notice, I'm trying to make it go away, and it doesn't work. But when you just let it be, and then turn your attention to Krishna, then it's gone. And if all you did in the last day was just notice what you were doing, that's the first step. And then what does Prabhupada say? Oh, this is so sad. The jnanis and the yogis who are not attached to the lotus feet of the Lord simply struggle against the waves of desire. My dear friends, if we try to make desires, thoughts, and feelings go away, we are not being in bhakti. We're acting like the jnanis and the yogis and the karmis who are always trying to control their thoughts and desires. They're battling with the waves. That will fail. It's frustrating, and it will fail. Leave them alone. Ignore them. Stop identifying with them. Laugh at them if you want. How ridiculous that there's pride in me, agitated because somebody said this thing. How silly that there's shame in my body because my body got sick. And laugh at it. And let it be. And turn our attention to Krishna. This is a practical application of surrender. Of the items of surrender, of aligning our desires with the Lord, not having any separate interests except the interests of the Lord. And it's a practical demonstration of humility. Daivyesha gunamayi mama maya durachaya. I can't fight maya. It fails. In fact, the more I try to fight maya, the more I'm overwhelmed with maya. I mean, I know sometimes Prabhupada uses the word fight maya. But the way we fight maya is by taking shelter of Krishna, letting him do it. I'm not going at ourself with some little, you know, I'm going to make this guilt go away. I'm going to make this sadness go away. I'm going to make this anger go away. I'm going to make this critical thought of somebody else go away. I'm going to pound it. Yes? All right. Let's discuss. We're going to go into breakout room. I want you to discuss these two items of surrender, that we are not independent in fulfilling our desires. I'm going to put this in the chat so you'll see what it is. All right, this is what we're going to be discussing in this breakout room, these two items of surrender of Prapadye, not being independent. Okay, I'm going to give you 10 minutes for that. I want to recreate. All right. I think we'll just do 8 minutes this time so I can make sure I get to everything else I need to get to. Okay, 8 minutes on these two items of surrender. A great ocean of material existence, as big as the Pacific Ocean, as big as the Atlantic Ocean, huge! And the jnanis and the karmis and the jnanis, they're all trying to swim in that ocean. And they're fighting the sharks. And the devotee goes to the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord, just approaches the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord. And what happens? One, two, three. Boom! The whole ocean becomes a little puddle. let's go on to text 40. I'm going to be studying about this little puddle. Kritro mahan iha bavarnavam aplavesham sadvarganakram asukain tirtik titirkshanti tatvam harer bhagavato bhajaniyam angrim kritvo dupam vyasanam uttara dustaranam. The ocean of nescience is very difficult to cross, because it is infested with so many dangerous sharks. Although those who are non-devotees undergo severe austerities and penances to cross that ocean, we recommend that you simply take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, which are like boats for crossing the ocean. Although the ocean is difficult to cross, by taking shelter of his lotus feet, you will overcome all dangers. What does Prabhupada say in this purport? He says, non-devotees who do not take shelter of the Lord's lotus feet try to cross the ocean of nescience by other methods, karma, gyan, yoga. They have a great deal of trouble. Indeed, sometimes they become so busy simply enjoying their troubles. We could talk about that for an hour or two. That they never cross the ocean. Actually, we talked about this a little bit the other day, the seven rasas. People are enjoying their anger. They're enjoying their lamentation. They're enjoying their horror. There is no guarantee that the non-devotees will cross the ocean. But even though they manage to cross, they have to undergo severe austerities and penances. On the other hand, anyone who takes to the process of devotional service and has faith that the lotus feet of the Lord are safe boats to cross that ocean is certain to cross very easily and comfortably. Another thing from the purport. Even though one may be a very expert swimmer, he cannot possibly survive if he is attacked by sharks. One often sees that many so-called swamis and yogis sometimes advertise themselves as competent to cross the ocean of nescience and to help others cross. But in actuality, they are found to be simply victims of their own senses. Instead of helping their followers to cross the ocean of nescience, such swamis and yogis fall prey to Maya and are devoured by the sharks in that ocean. So we have two very similar verses in the Bhagavatam. Does anybody know where those verses are? Two very, very similar verses. Anybody know? Just give me the general chapter or general what's going on. You don't have to give me the numbers. Who else says this? Who talks about this ocean becoming this tiny puddle? If I had some burfi here, I'd give out a burfi to the winner. Anybody.
This is the verse, right? Mahatpadam punyesho manare bhavam budhir vatsa padam param padam 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 yati vadam natesham.
Yes, Mataji.
We have this one?
Yes.
Yes, Mataji.
And there's another one. The one that you were talking about is... this one. So we have these two verses, one spoken by the demigods when Krishna is in Devaki's womb, and the other spoken by Lord Brahma after he comes back to see the trouble he made by stealing Krishna's friends. So the one you were quoting, Prabhu, is the second one, 10:14:58. So here we see the same, this is important stuff, isn't it? And isn't this part of surrender? Right? Yes? All right. Do all of you have a piece of paper? You need a piece of paper and a pen. Piece of paper. Get a piece of paper and a pen or a pencil. Everybody get that out? Everybody show me they have a paper. Can you all show me you have a paper? Show me you have a paper. Everybody show me paper. Show me paper. Show me a paper. Struti Priya Radha. Book. No, you can't write in a book. You gotta have a piece of paper, Radha. I'm not gonna write in a book. Don't write in a book. Alright, so you're gonna do two circles on your paper for the devotees and the others, and how they're gonna cross the ocean of samsara. Alright, so draw two circles. Don't write anything inside the circles. And label one of the circles devotees and the other circle others. Can everybody see this? Yes, don't write this stuff in the middle though. Don't write that. So devotees, others, this is a Venn diagram. And then you're going to write how the devotees conquer samsara, how those who aren't devotees, and then what do they have in common? There's going to be some things that they have in common. So anything that they all do, that goes in the middle. Anything that only devotees do goes there. Only thing that only the non-devotees do goes there. Okay? I want you to fill that out. Let's see how long we're going to give you guys for that. Let's give you 5 minutes for that. Alrighty. Alright. So we're going to go on to the last verse for today, text 41. Maitreya Uvacha, Sa Evam Brahma Putrena, Kumaran Atma Meda Sa, Darshitatma Gati Samyak, Prashas yo vachatam nirpa. The great sage Maitreya continued, being thus enlightened in complete spiritual knowledge by the son of Brahma, one of the Kumaras, who was complete in spiritual knowledge, the king worshipped them in the following words. So here we're looking at intelligence. Some interesting words here. Atma medasa, having intelligence of the self. Atma gati, in other words, having the self, having spirituality as our goal. The path of activities by which one can make progress in understanding Krishna. Okay. So, your mission for next class, and we don't have any class tomorrow. Tomorrow's a break. So you have 2 days to do this. And again, if there's any changes in the schedule, I will tell Shakti Swarupini and she will let you know. You'll know when I know. So your mission is to see if you can make some step in any of the six parts of surrender. We didn't have discussions on accepting what's favorable and rejecting what's unfavorable. We discussed just accepting Krishna as our maintainer, accepting Krishna as our protector, aligning our desires with the Lord and humility. But there is also accepting what's favorable and rejecting what's favorable. So you can pick any one of them and see how you can go forward in that. It can be a very small step. Small steps are significant, my dear friends. If you have two parallel lines, and one of them changes just 1 millimeter, it will end up in a different universe. Please do not think that in order to accomplish major changes in your life, that you have to do something major. A major change in your life can sometimes be minor. You have the 6 symptoms of surrender, your mission. There's the 6 symptoms of surrender, the 6 types of surrender. See what your mission is, to take any one of them, or 2 or 3 or all 6 if you like, if you're really ambitious. But we're fine to just take 1 and how you can move toward that. And again, a tiny change can have a big, big effect. You don't have to start sleeping only 3 hours a night and chant 120 rounds a day and, you know, move to Radha Kund and give everything away. You don't have to do that, Mahalakshmi. No. She did that one time. She just like jumped on a plane to Radha Kund in May. No, you don't have to do that. It's not necessary. It can be a very, very, very small, a teeny, teeny, tiny change. As I say, you got 2 parallel lines, and 1 change is 1 millimeter. It's someplace else. What you want to look for is what we call in the United States getting a big bang for your buck. A buck means a dollar. In other words, you want to be able to spend a little bit of money and get something very valuable. So I urge you to find something in the next 48 hours you can do. It can be a very small thing. It doesn't have to be a big thing. In fact, sometimes the small things are more effective. And you can take any one of these items, something that you're actually going to do, please. Don't pick something that you think you should do and it's in the Shastra and your guru says to do it, but you know you're not going to. Pick something that you're actually going to do, to advance in any one or more of these areas of the 6 types of surrender. All right. Krishna willing, we will see you in 2 days. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.